BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
May I introduce...
Sure.
Whatever anyone declared about Shura Giraldi, someone else insisted on the exact opposite. Shura was a man. Shura was a woman. Shura was a struggling Russian refugee in China, or the heart and brains of a gang that ran clubs, prostitutes and drugs, when not robbing banks and stealing gems. It was said that all Peking knew Shura, but it seems as if nobody truly did.
Attention, all police. Features, Asiatic or Western. Usual dress, Western or Asian.
Why aren't you scared of me? Everybody is scared of me.
I am not everybody.
I'm Paul French, and I've been on Shura's trail for 15 years. In this series, Peking Noir, I find myself alternately confronted by an eye-catching femme fatale in a tailored dress with ruby red nails, a cunning jewel thief, or an anonymous man in a dark suit lost in the crowds. Are any of them Shura? Or could Shura have been them all? Peking Noir, Part 2. Shura grew up in the Siberian city of Tomsk, in a home dominated by Shura's father, Mikhail Ivanovich Sosnitsky, a loyal and God-fearing Tsarist official. It is where our story starts, around 1920, with Shura, an adolescent girl, starting to explore life.
Kiss me.
I don't know how.
I can show you, it's easy. I put my lips next to yours, like this. See?
Stop.
What? It's only a kiss. Don't you like me?
Yes.
Then come closer.
Tomsk had boomed on a gold rush in the 19th century. However, the gold dwindled and Tomsk had become sidelined as the Trans-Siberian Railway bypassed the town. I knew that by 1920, Tomsk was a university city and a centre of the pro-monarchist white resistance to the growing power of the Red Bolsheviks. But I hadn't known that Tomsk had a surprisingly heady nightlife for a town over 2,000 miles from Moscow. Nightclubs, cabarets, bars and theatres. Perhaps this is where Shura's love of dancing and cabaret began. But these were not carefree times. The Russian Bolshevik Revolution that began in 1917 was rippling slowly out eastwards from Moscow and the newly named city of Leningrad. The resistance to the Bolsheviks, Cossacks, loyal regiments of the Tsarist army, and those who felt their future prospects under the communists would be grim, were collectively called the Whites. White regiments fought red detachments tooth and nail, though the Whites were pushed back further and further east until the revolution reached Siberia and Tomsk.
Open up! Open up!
Who is it?
Open up in there now!
What do you want? Do you know what time it is?
Is this the home of Mikhail Sosnitsky, the tax assessor?
Yes.
Where is he?
I am Mikhail Sosnitsky. Who do you think you are, barging into my home at this time of the morning and frightening my servants?
You are under arrest, Mikhail Sosnitsky.
For what?
For aiding and inciting counter-revolutionary activity in Tomsk, calling for the return of the Tsar and his regime and supporting the armies of the white generals and their foreign allies. Come with me now.
At least, let me say goodbye to my daughter.
No.
Please, I beg you. Her mother is dead. I am all she has.
Make it quick.
Go and wake her, Anna.
Yes.
I know you, don't I? You used to work for Luka Baranov.
Shura?
You were his groom.
Shura?
Hurry up there!
You could pretend I wasn't here. Tell them the house was empty. I can leave now and we can say no more about it.
She's not there.
What do you mean?
Shura. She's not in her room. Perhaps she's gone to the dance hall again.
Looks like your precious daughter is a slut, Sosnitsky.
How dare you?
You're going to regret that.
Come here. Come with me.
Find Shura. Find her.
When the Bolsheviks arrived, the communist commissars began to exact brutal revolutionary justice to anyone thought to be sympathetic to or working for the restoration of the Tsar.
Fight why?
Make way for the prisoners. Make way, I said.
Anna, Anna.
Shura, where have you been?
Where's Papa?
Did you get my message?
When I got home, I found your note.
So you've been out all night? You wicked girl.
Anna, where is my father?
The Bolsheviks arrested him. They're bringing him here. Look.
Listen up. Look at these men. All of these prisoners have been found guilty of aiding and inciting counter-revolutionary activity and placing unbearable burdens upon the proletariat of Tomsk. Take a good look at their faces and remember them. They are traitors. Let this be a warning to you all. Positions!
No, Papa!
Be quiet!
Take aim!
No!
Fire!
No!
Revolutionary justice was dispensed in public to ensure the population's horrified compliance. It became known as the Red Terror. Few families escaped it. The terror was to set Shura off on a life's journey beyond Russia. Later, Shura was to tell anyone who would ask that the revolution changed everything for the Russian émigrés, reduced them to poverty, stripped them of their pride.
Take me with you.
No.
Please, Anna, I have no one else.
If they find me helping you, they'll shoot me too. It's bad enough I work for him.
But what will I do? Where do I go?
Leave now. Take anything of value, your rings, necklaces, then get out of Russia.
Oh, Nastya. Oh, thank God. Thank God.
I heard about your father. I'm sorry. I know he didn't like me, but I'm still sorry. Yesterday they arrested my brother.
What for?
Helping the White Armies. They took his shop. From now on, we need to stick together. A girl of your age shouldn't be on her own.
You're not much older than me, Nastya.
But life has made me a little more streetwise now. Have you got money?
A little. And I have my jewellery. Just a few things. A necklace, a family icon.
Well, hold on tight to that. You're going to need it.
The exact number of Russian émigrés who fled the Bolsheviks is unknown. Best guess is somewhere between 800,000 and 2 million. Many went north and left Russia through the Baltic states and Finland, eventually destined for Western Europe and perhaps on to America. Others reached Odessa and the Black Sea ports. They boarded ships to Turkey and Constantinople, today's Istanbul. Shura chose the third route, an exodus that numbered 250,000 men, women and children. Those that went ever further east, as far as you could go on Russian soil, across a frozen Lake Baikal to the very edge of the old Russian Empire, at Vladivostok.
Stay close, Nastya. Don't get separated.
I can't breathe. I'm being crushed.
At Vladivostok, they crowded onto rusting and leaky tramp steamers headed down to Korea. Momentarily safe, perhaps, but now stateless, in exile, unemployed, often desperate, and headed to a strange country.
Please, miss, take my granddaughter with you. I'm ill. I can't fight for my place. Please, take her on the boat with you.
Don't be ridiculous, old man. Get away.
Please, she's no trouble. We have travelled far, waited 4 days at the dock.
We can't help you, no.
She's a good girl, please. Her name is Marie. Her parents were nice people, music teachers. The Bolsheviks killed them, left them hanging outside their home.
No, I said no. Look, take my arm. We won't take your granddaughter, but if you stay with me, I'll make sure you both get on the boat.
Oh, you're an angel. God's angel.
Hold tight. You're going to regret that, Shura. Did you bring a washcloth?
I don't think so. I left so fast.
I need to get clean. God, this ship is filthy. And the train. I'm sure that old man you picked up has got TB. You should cover your face when you're around him. You don't want to catch it. I wish we were back in Tomsk. What I wouldn't give for a good night out at the club. I wonder if that boy got out.
What boy?
The one you danced with on our last night. The one who tried to kiss you. You think I didn't see. Why didn't you kiss him back? He was handsome.
I'm shy around boys.
Why?
I don't know. I'm not like you.
You want to share the cloth?
I'm fine.
I don't mind. You don't need to be shy around me. We're best friends, aren't we? Oh, who's this now?
It's Marie.
That kid! God's sake!
Marie, are you all right?
It's my dear Dushka. He can't stop coughing.
The overcrowded ships made it to ports along the Korean coast, such as Seishin, now Chongjin in today's North Korea. From there, the refugees desperately tried to board trains that would take them into northern China, to Manchuria, and cities where exiled Russians were making their new homes.
What will we do when we get to Harbin?
Get a job.
Doing what?
I don't know. I can dance, maybe I'll do that. What about you?
I haven't thought about it.
It's best not to stay in Harbin for long. There's too much competition. It's full of Russians. But I have a friend. He has a club, the Balalaika. Maybe he'll give us a job. It'll do for the time being. Then we can move on to Peking or even Shanghai. You'll be lucky if you last the night.
My dear Dushka is sick.
Come and sit next to me, Marie.
Harbin Station. Harbin, you must disembark. Harbin Station.
Shora, wake up.
What is it?
We're here. Look, Harbin.
We're safe.
We made it.
Harbin was the most common destination for those Russians leaving via Vladivostok and heading for northern China. It was a Chinese city, but one with a large and established Russian community of 34,000, the terminus of the Russian-built and operated China Eastern Railway. Harbin had Russian schools, Russian Orthodox churches, Russian-language newspapers, literary journals, a symphony orchestra of Russian musicians, and ways of making a living.
Where's Marie?
No, I don't know.
Wake the old man. Tell him.
Wake up, old man. You... Oh, shit.
What?
He's dead.
Harbin Station. Everybody out. Harbin Station. This is the end of the line.
Go and find the child, quick. Father of all, we pray to you for this good man and for all those whom we love but see no longer.
Forced exile. Becoming a refugee. Having to survive on your own, without family, without many of the necessary skills, languages, trades, ensures that someone becomes either a survivor fast or perishes, washed away on a tide of desperation. You learn to do things you would not have thought possible, perhaps not even moral, or that you were capable of in your former life. You learn fast.
I'm sorry, old man, but if I don't take the watch, someone else will.
Shura did all that was possible for the old man. But then Shura had to protect those who were left alive, those who still had a journey to make, a road to continue along. Who among us could honestly say we would have done any different? What Shura found on that crowded train, in the chaos of Harbin Railway Station in 1922, was a survival instinct that would never leave.
The kid's not in the carriage. Maybe she's at the other end.
What are you doing?
Checking his pockets.
What for? There's nothing there.
How do you know?
Look at him, he's poor, you can tell.
Get off the train, leave the train.
Go and look for the child, try the other carriage. I'll stay here with the things.
Are you sure?
She's only young. She's going to need our help.
There are so many people. I got lost.
Well, you were lucky I came to find you. Anything could have happened. Let's go find Nastya. We need to go. Nastya! Where is she?
Time to go. This train terminates here. Come on.
But my friend, she was going to wait for me. She has my things.
Well, she's not here now, is she? Come on, time to go. You too, old man. Move.
He can't. He's dead.
Dear Dushka?
Excuse me. Excuse me, please. Miss, can you stop?
What?
You have children. Will you take this child?
Don't be ridiculous.
Please, please. She's not mine, and
get off me.
The White Russian exodus had seen so many émigrés pour into Harbin in just a few years that housing and welfare soon became strained. Jobs scarce. The crime rate soared. Poverty endemic.
Please, can you help me? I was robbed. I have nothing. I need you to take this child.
Go away.
I'll give you this watch. I'll give you the watch if you take the child.
Let me see it.
Here. Oh, hey! Hey! Come back! Give me that back! Shit! Shit!
Many of the young Russian émigré women were from bourgeois families, not always, as so often falsely claimed, from the aristocracy, but from the once prosperous middle class. They often had no more formal skills than good manners, a little French, and the ability to dance. And so now, in exile, in China, employment choices were stark. Menial and low-paid labour, if you could find it and stand it, or the more louche world of the entertainment industry.
What do you want?
This is the balalaika?
Yeah.
My friend, she said she'd be here. Her name is Nastya.
We have no one by that name here.
But I need a job. Please, I'll do anything. I need your help. I have nothing and I need to eat.
What can you do?
I can dance.
Let me look here. You'll do, I suppose. But you can't bring the kid.
Please, it's just for tonight. Tomorrow I'll find lodgings. Tonight I need a job. She can watch.
You better come in.
And so Shura enters the world of taxi dancing. Men bought tickets from the ballroom, gave the tickets to their dance partners, who traded them in with the nightclub for cash later. It was not, as is popularly portrayed, prostitution, though it could easily become so. The League of Nations report on Shanghai in the 1920s found nearly a quarter of Russian émigré women in the city engaged in either full-time or casual prostitution to support themselves and their families.
What's your name?
Shura.
Come and dance with me, Shura. Not like that. You need to come closer, like this.
These were desperate times for Shura. A new country, forced to earn a living, a young, dependent child. A tiny microcosm of the great Russian emigration. Shura was safe from the Bolsheviks, but taxi dancing in the many rough dance halls of Russian Harbin demanded a whole new level of survival skills. Next time on Peking Noir.
Stop! 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 You're killing!
Idea!
Stop!
Shura and Marie are destined to move on once again.
From now on, you trust me.
I don't even know who you are.
To leave Harbin to seek new opportunities in a new city, where perhaps there is less competition and a chance to build a new life.
May I introduce our new patron of the Kafka? Our Russian Jew.
1920s China is rarely a place where life is easy. You have been listening to Peking Noir. Shura was played by Maggie Bain. Mikhail by Roger Ringrose. Nastya by Charlotte East. Anna Jane Wittenshaw. Marie Rose Yevtushenko. And other parts by Daniel York Lowe, Luke Nunn, and Cecilia Appia. The production coordinator was Ben Hollands. Music research by Marithe van der Aar. Foley recording by Jenny Burnett. And editing and sound design was by Peter Ringrose. Peking Noir was presented by me, Paul French. And the drama was written by Sarah Woolley. The producer was Sasha Yevtushenko. It was a BBC audio drama production for BBC Radio 3.